Episode 19 on tonight's show, we talk the Dybbuk Box.
Possessed dolls and haunted objects.
And Ed and Lorraine Warren, much, much more. Night of the Living Dreads starts now. Man, Night of the Living Dreads, episode 19. I am Otis B. Dreads.
I am Malice Murphy.
And, of course, we always like to give some love to Gorehounds of Horror. Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. Great people over there. Of course, you can check us out over there at Gorehounds. Well, we will be over there. We're always over there, Gorehounds on Facebook. You can check out Night of the Living Dreads over there on Facebook as well, nightoflivingdreads.com. You can also get in touch with Malice and myself. You can get in touch with us via email, otis@nightoflivingdreads.com. And what is yours, my good friend?
Malice Murphy at nightoflivingdreads.com.
There you go. Now, is that Murphy with a E-Y or just a Y?
Just a Y.
Just a Y, so there's no confusion. All right. How's your week been, man? I mean, we'll just start off with some light talk. How's your week been? Has it been hectic? I mean,
Yeah, man, work's been a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, the weather's been cold, and as we mentioned before, man, during these months, man, you're doing a lot of snow removal and having to be out in that god-awful weather.
Oh, man.
It's been horrible, man.
You talk about last week, man.
Yeah.
It was negative 33 with the wind chill.
Yeah.
We were out there where we had to go in at 2 a.m. that morning.
Oh, God.
And, the later in the day it got, the colder it got.
Talk about a horror story. Man, Jesus.
I was ready to quit my job.
To throw in the towel, man.
I was like, I'm ready to just, go back to the shop.
So now, the Insane Asylum is based out of Ohio. And there is a, running joke with those in Ohio that have lived here for a while that. You can have a polar vortex at the beginning of the week, and you can have spring-like conditions at the end, which is exactly what we had. We had, a polar vortex is what they were calling it, like you said, 30 degree below, zero weather in the beginning of the week. And today it was, in the 50s? Did it hit the 50s?
Yeah,
today?
I think it did.
I think
pretty warm outside.
Yeah, it was, man. It was like springtime.
I barbecued today.
All the snow was gone. You barbecued. Mal is barbecued, man.
Yeah.
See, that's how we act here, man. We get 50-degree weather, man. We're breaking out the fucking grills and the steaks and everything else.
Some grilled chicken wings and potatoes.
Man, so, yeah. Well, today was a good break from the weather. And all next week, they're calling for like 50, close to 50 or in the 50s as far as highs go all next week. Is what I heard. I even heard somebody, who was it? It was maybe you or Bobby. We were all three hanging out, enjoying some adult beverages and some leafy matters and oils. And what was it? One of you guys or somebody else that told me that we could be looking at like 60 freaking degrees come the middle or the end of next week or something. We could hit 60.
the way it's looking, it's going to stay in the 50s and 40s and yeah. back down into the 30s and during the weekend.
Oh, nice. Right. Yeah. So another polar vortex for those in Ohio coming next weekend after you enjoy the spring-like weather. But, all right. Going to do something a little new here on the podcast, man. I thought we would run down a little, you know, this day in horror. We're going to cover three main categories of movie releases all through the years, this day in horror. Those actors or directors or those, you know, that were, you know, associated with the horror genre, birthdays, and unfortunately death days. But hey, it's horror. You can't have horror without some death, right?
It happens.
It does happen. So at the time of this recording, it is February the 3rd, 2019. And let me know if you've heard any of these movies. I've heard of actually three of them. I've only seen one of the three that that's on here, and not even that version. All right, let's start out. On this day in 1941, The Devil Commands. Have you even heard of that one?
No.
It sounds interesting, though. The Devil Commands in 1941 was released on this day. In the Mouth of Madness in 1995. Dead and Rotting, 2002. I've heard of that one. That's one of the ones I've heard of. Shower of Blood in 2004. I've heard of that one. When a Stranger Calls, the remake, 2006. I have not seen that one, but I've seen the original.
I've seen that one, but I don't remember it.
The original is good. The original, I'm not going to lie. Killer Movie.
I bet it was.
In 2009. And The Innkeepers, 2012. So those are some of the movies that came out on this day, that being February 3rd. All right, some of those born this day, let's see, because I'm not going to go through all of them, but the guy who played the little nasty leprechaun, Warwick Davis, was born on this day in 1970, the little leprechaun. He was also in the Harry Potter films. We won't hold that against him. Let's see. We have Keith Gordon, who starred in Christine, Jaws 2, and Dressed to Kill. He's now an actor or a director and has helmed quite a few of the series or the shows of the series Dexter. I think that has to do with like a serial killer or something.
Yeah. It's not too bad.
I think I've seen bits and pieces of a few episodes, but I'm too tired to binge anymore on Netflix. But yes, he was born 1961 on this day. Let's see who we got here. Robert Earl Jones in 1911. He's the father of James Earl Jones, who appeared in the films Maniac Cop 2 and Sleepaway Camp. Sleepaway Camp, you know, the chick with the dick. I know you remember Sleepaway Camp. It's maybe been a while, but...
It's probably been
a while. Yeah, Sleepaway Camp. Check it out. Trust me. Chick with a dick. That's all I want to say. Those are some notables. I mean, there's obviously more people here on the list, but we're just going through some notables. And then, unfortunately, those who have died on this day. Let's see. We have Spanish director Carlos Red, I don't know. He directed a few films, including Horror Rises from the Tomb, Curse of the Devil, The Mummy's Revenge, and House of Psychotic Women. There's a joke there. I just can't find it. Another big notable, the very lovable grandpa from the Munsters in 2006 passed away on this day. Al Lewis at the age of 95.
95.
Wow. Grandpa. Well, he's a vampire. I mean, he should have lived a lot longer. Why do we give him credit for that? Let's see. John Cassavetes, actor who starred in Rosemary's Baby, The Fury, and The Incubus. He died at the age of 59 in 1989. So, there's just a few notables there. I thought it'd be interesting to, you know, mention some things that happened on this day. If nothing happened in your life, something did happen on this day. So we're going to talk about, this is actually the second episode in a row, but we're going to talk about some paranormal things. And you brought up, because I was really at a loss on really where I wanted to go as far as subject matter. And first thing out of your mouth, you text me like, bam, dolls. Interesting. Okay. Now, I want to throw out a couple warnings here. One warning, you know, of creepy dolls and things of that nature. If you're scared of dolls, you know, you could probably still listen because we're not. But honestly, if you are one of those staunch believers that dolls are moving around and running around and killing people, or they're causing the death in some way just by their presence, or they're moving around without the help of fishing line, this is probably not the podcast for you. Because we're not going to be your friend tonight, are we, Malice?
No,
neither one of us really have a firm belief in that. We've both had paranormal experiences.
Correct.
But not with dolls.
Never.
Not with really inanimate objects other than things that have fallen off the walls that I can't explain the trajectory on. Other than that, but we're focusing in on dolls, and, you know, I mean, we can talk about some, you know, different objects and whatnot, you know, one being, you know, the Dybbuk box, which we're going to talk a little bit about as well. But a lot of what we're going to talk about, I think it means summed up in one word, bullshit.
Correct. Like, complete and utter bullshit.
Let's start with some dolls here.
Which one would you want to talk about?
Well, let's actually paint the picture here, because before we get into all that, I do want to go through, because I'd like to get some listener response on this as far as maybe some of their favorite evil doll horror movies. And I thought maybe we just run down a few real quick. Some of these I've never heard of. Black Devil Doll from Hell, that came out in 1984, said to be so bad it's good. The Pit from 1981, Devil Doll from 1964, Puppet Master, of course everybody knows about the Puppet Master, that was late 80s, 89.
I love that movie.
You do like that one? I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through, although scary doll movie and doll horror movies, evil doll movies, they just never really appealed to me, even in this genre.
That's what
Chucky never, I didn't care.
That's what originally like made me afraid of like figurines and shit like
really?
That. You know,
really?
Watching Puppet Master, and then my grandma, she had these little clowns, man, and I was just convinced that, you know, one night them fuckers were going to get up off the shelf and come and kill us.
And how old were you? I mean, that's a kid's imagination, I'm sure. I mean, this didn't happen like last week's. No. Last week.
No, that would have been great. Right? I was about 6 or 7, so.
That would have been what this podcast would have been about if it happened last week. The Doll Master, which is a Korean horror film, that came out in 2004. Dolly Dearest, a little play off of Mommy Dearest. Now we have the evil doll, apparently.
It's fucking creepy looking.
It is a creepy, angry-looking doll here. That came out in 1991. Pinocchio's Revenge. from 96, and it states, because it does, and I'll link this article where we're getting this from, so you can read the little descriptions next to the movie. This one actually says, basically a riff off of the Child's Play formula. So basically it's just Pinocchio goes buck wild and starts, you know, terrorizing people.
Fucking carving them up, looks like.
He's tearing it up. Tales from the Hood. Never realized there was even a puppet in this.
Me neither.
Apparently, it's a hoodoo witch instead of voodoo. Hood-do. Witch, yeah. That one came out in 95. The Boy from 2016. Dead Silence. I believe his name was Billy or something. That doll there, that's a creepy looking one. It's almost like a mannequin, though. Or not a mannequin, a dummy, one of the dummies. Yeah. 2007 there. Scarecrows. 1988. Love Object, 2004. Creepshow 2, 87. The Asylum. Or just Asylum from 1972. Tourist Trap. From 1979, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow, 1981. That's not even a. Is that a?
Is he holding the rake or is that his fucking hand?
I don't. Well, it's not a doll for one.
Right.
Why is that even on the fucking list? All right. Pin, 1988. This is a Canadian film. We won't hold that against them. Dead of Night, 1945. Getting a little old now. Magic, starring good old Anthony Hopkins. That one came out 78. Dolls, 1987. The Trilogy of Terror, which I was watching this before you came over last night. Came over and we had some adult beverages and. I actually watched this. Karen Black, who plays Mother Firefly in House of a Thousand Corpses, is in this. Much younger age. This came out in 1975. It is, of course, your typical 1970s, Conjuring, 2013, which we're going to, talk a little bit about. And, of course, the last one on the list has got to be Child's Play, 1988. Probably one of the most popular evil doll horror movie related type movie, would you say?
Yeah.
Or, because I don't know how, I always thought that Child's Play was much more popular than maybe like, Puppet Master or any of the other ones that we named on this list or any that's, not on the list.
No, I would definitely say it was more popular.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked, when I was a child, it scared me, obviously. Like, I thought that shit was real.
Really? But,
yeah. My dad was pretty sick, man. He's like, had me convinced that, the devil was going to get me. He even went out and bought a fucking Chucky doll and put it in my bed one night. And I woke up and the little fucker was laying next to me and I...
Freaked out.
I pissed the bed.
Was it an actual good guy doll?
Well, it was a good guy doll, but as Chucky. It was fucked up face and just scary and hair all crazy and
right.
So
that's funny.
But as an adult, I like it all the way up to is it The Bride of Chucky is the last one that I liked. Like it was after that I started to think that they were getting pretty stupid and reaching.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because just earlier, me and Mrs. Dreds were sitting in here in the insane asylum, and I was watching some stuff on some haunted dolls and Annabelle and Robert and the list goes on, but and she even mentioned that she can't even remember if she even seen Child's Play 2. And I'm like, I think I've seen bits and pieces of some of the ones after the original. I've seen all the original. And that was really just for entertainment value, you know? I mean, which it all is, I guess, in a sense. But, I mean, I've never been into that kind of horror, you know, with the evil doll. It's like, come on, man, you can just stomp that thing, man. You could kick it right through the friggin' window. How is this thing, you know, really so much more powerful, you know? It's, you know, 2 foot high and you're six. You know, how is this hurting you? You at least, at the minimum, probably got, you know, 3 foot advantage on them height-wise, and, you know, unless you're a midget or something. Oh, sorry, little person.
To me now, man, it's a horror comedy.
It really is. It really is. We were talking about that on a thread over there, Gorehounds, and I agree. Yeah, it's absolutely more of a horror comedy. I laugh more than I do anything. I was like, that is hilarious. And I did the same thing with the Trilogy of Terror, because there's like a little voodoo-looking doll that runs around, man, and, you know, it's just terrorizing Karen Black's character. And, you know, me and Bobby were sitting here watching it before you came by, and we're just like laughing. It was like, are you kidding me? I mean, but it was great because it was such 70s.
Right.
It was so 70s, man. I mean, and I'm looking, when I watch movies like that, man, I'm looking at, like, all right, the shitty special effects, man. Why is the blood so red? It looks very, very red. It looks like paint. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm looking at the background and the sofa, and oh, I remember, man, I think my mom had a sofa like that. You know? And it's kind of nostalgic for me, I guess. That's why I like, you know, the 70s horror, you know, that era of that genre. But all right, so what do you think about, we'll just start off with, you know, these dolls. What do you think about all this? We watched quite a few of quote unquote evidence of haunted dolls moving on camera.
I think it's bullshit, man. I think that I just don't believe that an object can be possessed or haunted.
It's hard for me too, and you know, we watched, you know, some stuff on the Annabelle doll, which is, you know, a Raggedy Ann doll. It's not what you see on the movies. It's, that doll was much more creepier than this Raggedy Ann doll,
oh,
for
yeah,
sure.
Definitely.
And you know, for, you know, scare factor and fear, you know.
Hollywood,
absolutely. So, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And I have my own theory. And real quick, you know, I'm not going to give anybody a science lesson here, but I believe, and from what I've heard, you know, these spirits, if there's entities, if there's ghosts, spirits, whatever you want to call them, if they are around, in order for them to manifest themselves in any way, they need energy, okay? And we hear stories of, you know, people's lights blinking. That's them communicating with you, but they're using part of that energy, okay? If one of these spirits occupy a inanimate object who has no energy, really, I mean, that there's nothing really, you know, to feed off of. Where are they getting the energy from to take and move, you know, this doll around?
They're not storing it.
They're not storing it. I mean, I get a couple creepy looking dolls here, but you know, I don't. None of them have moved, not once.
I think the one just winked at me, man. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, damn it.
See, I'm a skeptic until, you know, I experience it myself.
I am too, and you know, that's why I had to throw that little disclaimer up for those who are, you know, really hardcore believers of, you know, these haunted dolls and the story of Annabelle and Robert, and you know, I mean, like I said, the list can go on. There's Harold, there's Patty Reed's doll, Joliet. I mean, there's all kinds of these, you know, accusations that these dolls are, in fact, haunted, that they're causing deaths in families and sicknesses and kids to die, like, you know, 3 days old, 3 weeks, you know. I mean, it's just really crazy stuff, man.
It is. And, you know, I mean, if you, you know, feel like you've been cursed, every bad thing that happens to you, you're going to relate that. You're going to contribute that to being cursed. Well, it's happening because of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening because of this curse that I have on me from, you know, the Robert doll or Annabelle doll. You know, I didn't ask its permission to take its picture or...
Right, right.
You know, I told it it looked stupid.
Yeah.
And now my goldfish died. I'm so sorry I made fun of you. Please bring back my goldfish.
Oh, man. And people are going to think, God, you guys got some bad juju coming to you. But, you know, honestly, man, I think, you know.
That's life.
The juju will only be as bad as the energy I put into it. And I'm not really giving it much. I just find it. You can watch these videos all day long. All day long. Of these dolls moving, top 15, top 10, top 5, top this, top that, you know, and every one of them can be pretty much debunked with fishing line. I mean, we said magnets. I mean, we've sat and watched, I don't know how many, but before we started this podcast, and it can really, most of them can be, you know, debunked, if not all of them. I mean, and that's what I'm trying to do. Not that I don't want to believe it. It's that I would like to believe some shit like that.
Most definitely.
I mean, that would
be cool as shit.
But I want something authentic, you know, to kind of, you know, accompany my want to believe in this. Because all I'm seeing is possible hoax. You know, the Annabelle doll, for instance. Let's talk about one that has a little bit of notoriety. Is that that the word I'm looking for?
Notoriety.
I don't know. But Annabelle, who is housed in the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine Warrens occult museum, and this we watched. Apparently, they took this doll. Okay, to a convention or whatnot. So they didn't transport it in Annabelle's, you know, home.
Blessed, there,
protected. Right, in the same glass case that she's housed at the occult museum. You know, if you were to go and visit this, you know, for one, I think you're wasting your fucking money. And two, you know, you'll be able to see, you know, which one I'm talking about. But I will also post this video link of what I'm talking about in the description. The lengths they went through, they had the little creepy music in the background. They had, you know, they were dousing, you know, one guy's dousing his hands with holy water. And then puts on what I can only describe as, like, you know, elbow deep welding gloves. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And all they were doing was transporting a Raggedy Ann doll 10 feet across the room. Now, you said yourself, see, I'm watching this. When I first watched it, I'm watching it thinking, you got to be kidding me. Seriously, I want to take that fucking doll and just sling it across the fucking room. Okay, I really, but you expressed to me that you were one of those that were like, you know, hey, I ain't saying it's true, but I ain't testing them waters there. You know?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna touch that fucking thing, or you know, I'm not gonna go see it.
I'm gonna jerk off and wipe my balls on its chin. Was that wrong?
Let me wipe my ass with this fucking doll. throw it on the ground and stomp on it.
Night of the Living Dreads just derailed right there with the jerking off on Annabelle doll. Anyway, maybe I should have thrown a disclaimer in for the language.
I don't think there's a lot of kids listening to this.
I certainly hope not. So, and that started me, you know, I started looking into this Annabelle doll. You know, and before I get into them, I think we need a quick break. I have to go use the restroom, replenish a beverage or two, and really get my thoughts around what we're going to talk about after this quick break, because we're about at the halfway point. That's Ed and Lorraine Warren, because the Annabelle doll took me to them, because they house it.
Right.
Robert said to be the most haunted doll in the world.
Now,
why don't they have that? Because the owner won't give it up. That might be why.
Now, do they just own, like in their museum, is it just haunted objects?
It's artifacts, apparently, from 8,000 to 10,000 hauntings and whatnot. They've collected all of these artifacts that they've taken out of people's homes.
From hauntings.
From hauntings that they have gone to a haunting and apparently came up with the conclusion that this particular object right here has history, and I think this is causing your problems. They take it out, they put it in their museum, which is in the back of their house, and then they charge people to look at these it's like a fucking garage sale no one wants to go to.
So they take somebody's like doo-doo stain crusted underwear.
Bam, like, there we go.
This is where all the bad smells are coming from.
Yes, right. You wonder why there's flies in the room? Now, I know it sounds like we're kind of, shitting on them too, but I think
we kind of are.
We really are, and, anyway.
Don't go waste your money on that.
I wouldn't.
I would like to go to the Zach Baggins Museum, because he has a lot of artifacts that are related to serial killers.
Yeah, which is interesting.
So I would like to see some of that shit.
Yeah, that I would like to see. I would be interested in something like that. But when you start putting, how come there was never a Raggedy Andy doll that was haunted? Why was it just Raggedy Ann? Is that saying something about the females?
I think so.
They're the crazy ones.
That's what I would be going with.
Raggedy Andy, was it her brother? Raggedy Ann, Raggedy Andy? I don't know.
Her first victim?
No. The other doll. There was another doll accompanying, Raggedy Ann.
No, yeah, no, I know.
Raggedy Annabelle. Telling you. I don't know. We're going to let you guys think on that for a moment, and we're going to take a small break here. Gather our thoughts. We will be right back. We're at the halfway point, folks. I am Otis B. Dreads.
I'm Malice Murphy.
And this is Night of the Living Dreads podcast. We'll be right back right after this.
Everyone's going to be talking about this weekend. A mother changes the batteries on her son's talking Elmo doll and is stunned to hear what comes out of its mouth. You will be too.
Kill James.
That's right. The Elmo doll is saying, "Kill James." That's the name of the boy who owns the Elmo Knows Your Name doll. You plug it into the computer so it will repeat the child's name. Well, the doll ran out of battery, so the mom replaced them. That's when it started making death threats.
Kill James.
It's not something that really you would think that would ever come out of a toy, but once I heard it, I was just kind of distraught.
Kill James.
Even worse, James began repeating the phrase, so his mom had to hide the toy. Fisher-Price makes the doll and says it will issue a voucher to replace it. It is also examining Elmo to figure out what went wrong and looking at other toys to find out if they are bloodthirsty as well.
Come and play.
All right, back from that nice little ditty. thought that would be appropriate. Talking about evil dolls. And that is actually, you know, such the, you know, the perfect segue, that break being, because we watched the homicidal Elmo. Remember that one, Kill James?
Yes.
And now this is an Elmo that the parents could take they could plug it into their computer, I'm assuming via USB, and actually, you know, type in maybe your son's name, your daughter's name, you know, and somehow this Elmo can speak your child's name. So they did this, and then the batteries ran dead. They changed the batteries out, and when they pushed the belly, now mind you, the mother pushed the belly to entice the child. The child's name was James. And when she pushed the belly of this Say My Name Elmo, say my name. Elmo replied,
Kill James.
With some, yeah, it's very disturbing, I guess, in a sense. But come on. You're plugging something into a computer and you're trying to tell me that this was not manipulated in any way, shape, or form.
Where you program what it says.
Yeah. or you can program the words in there and all of a sudden you plug it into your computer, your batteries go dead, new batteries, hit the fucking belly, and it says to kill James, which happens to be your son. So, that break...
It made it on the news.
It really did. Absolutely it did. And the clip that I saw was actually from a news broadcast where the woman's pushing it on the news saying, Kill James.
Talk about fishing for a story.
Man, I absolutely cracked up at that. I thought that was some of the funniest shit that I've seen in a while. Because it can be so easily manipulated. That, to anybody, cannot be hardcore evidence. If you have any interest in the paranormal, if you have any interest in maybe getting to some truth of paranormal, or doing any kind of legit, honest, genuine investigation, you cannot find that story to be anywhere close to fucking truth. If you do, you're a shit stain, and you know you shouldn't even be able to pronounce the word paranormal.
What about the Okiku doll?
Oh yeah, the Okiku doll. Yes, this one, you know, was, I guess, given to a young girl
by her
Japan.
Brother.
Well, yeah. And the little girl's name was Akiku or something like that, Akiko or something, and yeah, she was given this doll. The doll kind of, you know, resembled her, but they all look alike. That was wrong, probably.
Dolls. That is.
Dolls. Yeah, I mean. But anyway, it had the traditional little bob haircut, you know, of a small, you know, Japanese, you know, doll would. That traditional haircut. And this young girl, after receiving this doll, ends up passing away. I can't remember the time. I don't know if it's 3 months, 3 years, or what exactly it was. Do you know the numbers offhand?
It was either 3 months or 3 years.
That's what I was thinking as well. So this was this, you know, a Kiku or whatever, a Kiko. This was her favorite doll. They made a memorial of this little girl when she had passed, and on the memorial they set this doll. Now they noticed over time that this doll's hair was growing.
Right.
they said they did test. This was human hair. Now, of course, to the parents, and probably, you know, their background, their tradition, maybe they have a lot of, you know, beliefs and things like that, given the way, you know, they were brought up, the old country Japan style. I don't know the ways and whatnot of the Orient.
I don't know if they have the internet.
They may. I think they invented it. No, Al Gore did.
Oh, yeah. No, he invented global warming.
And in and the internet. Yeah, he said he did.
Oh, he did?
He did.
Oh, wow.
So, sorry, Japan. You
I'm just saying, maybe they don't have access to certain websites.
Oh, very true. So, they believe that the spirit of their past daughter, their child, has embodied this doll, which is causing her hair to grow. Of course, you know. Now, yes, they would use, in some traditions, they would use actual real hair, human hair, that was donated to toy makers. This was a common practice. I don't know if it was then, but I think it was over here in the States. A common practice to, you know, have a doll made maybe in the liking of, you know, your child. They would donate, you know, real hair. But this doesn't explain the whole growing thing, because you need a lot more things, you know, going on there to grow hair, other than, you know, just slapping a human hair wig on a doll. It's not going to grow.
I think it was Bobby who said, you got a Chia pet.
You got a Chia doll. Absolutely. Yeah, you got a fucking Chia doll. And they claim to have to give this doll a haircut. Like what, every month or two, I think they said. Or you brought up an interesting point. Why don't you bring that up as far as capturing the evidence? If this is actually a real occurrence of this hair growing, why don't we have people doing what?
Like videotaping it, you know, just constant, you know, videotaping.
Yeah. Time-lapse type time shit. Time-lapse, yeah.
Of the doll to watch the hair actually grow.
Right.
And this day and age, why haven't they taken any of the hair and tested the DNA in it?
Exactly. Now, there are claims that they determined it was human hair.
Right. But I mean, but they could...
But that could have also been on the doll to begin with. A lot of dolls, you know, again, I don't know if it was, you know, in that part of the world, but over here, a lot of times, they would use human hair to make these dolls. So, why are they not doing this stuff? Why are they not checking the DNA? Why do they not have, you know, and this is in the age of, I mean, this doll is still said to do this now. We have the technology.
Yeah, they schedule a regular man. Haircut at Great Clips every 2 months.
Just do the bob thing. It's the fucking Great Clips. That is great. Clips. So, all right. I got a little because, again, as I mentioned before the break, when I started looking into Annabelle and some of the more well-known haunted dolls, of course, I was taken to Ed and Lorraine Warren. We spoke a little bit about, you know, their occult museum. I wouldn't waste the money.
No.
I think it looks like a yard sale that nobody would go to is basically what I think it looks like. I mean, yeah, it has a lot of cool looking stuff, you know, but you're probably going to pay an arm and a leg to even get in there. And then you don't even know what the hell you're looking at. You're looking at a Raggedy Ann doll in a case. And, you know, you're thinking that, oh, this is... possess. Everything is demons with them.
Right.
But first of all, let's just give, you know, a little bit of, you know, background. For one, it is said that Ed Warren was a demonologist. Now, he was a self-taught, self-proclaimed demonologist. Right. He never did any kind of classes in theology, doesn't know shit about parapsychology. Doesn't really know the science background to what he claims is going on. They are a very staunch Catholic, you know, religious background. So, as I think I've mentioned in other podcasts, when we have brought this up, when we talked about Amityville, I think I brought it up, maybe not with Ed and Lorraine, but I think it applies. Ed and Lorraine being of such, and before I go on, Lorraine is, you know, what do they call that?
Clairvoyant.
Clairvoyant. Yes, that's the word. Yes, she is a self-proclaimed clairvoyant. Okay, there's, again, nothing that, you know, I'm sure there's tests that could be done to see if you are that way, if your brain works in that way.
Right.
And maybe I'm getting all science on it, but I think if you can't provide anything else, at least provide me some science. Because the visual evidence and what you're telling me is, well, it's on shaky ground. So we have a self-proclaimed, self-taught demonologist. Everything's, you know, demons with them. They're very, some have said that they seem to be very like a fundamentalist in nature when it comes to their religion. So, you know, anything evil in the world, any strange noises, everything's going to be the devil or demons. It's going to be something. Oh, my doll in the corner of the room moved. Oh, well, if Ed and Lorraine were there, it's demons. And, you know, we got to take that doll back and charge people outrageous money to see your doll.
So when they ate something and they got diarrhea, it was the devil.
It was the devil. I just really find, and again, maybe, you know, I am shitting on them, but I don't find a lot of credibility in them. I really don't. And there's stories such as the movie The Conjuring, which was loosely based on an actual story that they were involved in. And some of the children that were present when Ed and Lorraine came and visited them, which in the movie it looks like they almost moved in. They were like all there all the time. No, the kids said, for one, when they showed up, They were not invited. They were not called to. They just showed up. And the father was absolutely furious. The kid said they were there 5, maybe 6 times in a year. Okay. But now we got a whole movie base, which is kind of like based around them, you know, which the family's all cool with. They're like, yeah, whatever. It's Hollywood, you know. But the kids have a very different, you know, story. The one daughter claims that there was an instant where her mom, she watched her mom from the other room actually be thrown across the room. Now, here's something strange, because I think they're kind of opportunists in a sense. Okay. The mother gets thrown across the room. The husband, her dad, goes after his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a fucking rational, you know, reaction.
Right.
Ed Warren grabs his arm as if to keep him from going over there. The father, who's portrayed in the movie The Conjuring, turns around and punches Ed and knocks him out. And then goes and attends to his wife. That's something Hollywood didn't want to tell you a whole lot about.
Right. You know,
didn't want to hurt Pretty Boy's face. But.
And not just that. If there's such these great people, you know, going and, you know, relieving people of these, you know, these tremendous or horrendous.
Tremendous? These.
Horrendous evil objects, right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Then they take them and make a museum and invite people to come be around them.
Right. Exactly.
Come around all these dangerous possessed objects. Mm-hmm. Look at them.
Mm-hmm.
You're safe.
And again, going back to Annabelle, the, you know, right on the glass case, which is also how Robert is stored, but that's down in Key West. Right on the case, it says, absolutely, you know, positively do not touch. But yet, it's okay for this guy to douse himself with some, you know, Avion spring water and throw on some welder's gloves for the camera and touch this fucking thing.
Right. I mean, for.
Remember they said, because, you know, as long as it doesn't touch the skin.
Yeah, that's how it enters you.
through the pores.
through your skin.
Your pores. Oh, my goodness.
And with Robert, I mean, you must ask permission before you take a picture. How do you know you got his permission?
Exactly, man. I thought the same thing. What happens? Or is it just the action of asking that to Robert is respectful, that you just didn't do it, assuming that you could do it? Okay, is it okay if I take a picture? Okay, thank you. Click, click, you know. I did the old school camera on the Polaroid.
On both sides.
Right, on both sides.
Double clicker.
Right, because I'm getting two pictures at once. Yeah, how do you know if it's okay? Does Robert nod his head? Like, yes, you may.
I think he might. I think he may wink at you.
Yeah. Gotcha. And the belief in Robert is that there's been a lot of those who go there and don't ask permission to take his picture experience a lot of bad karma, I guess you could say. There's been, you know, injuries, I think even deaths associated with people who haven't. Those who have not died, obviously, have such belief in this that they literally write letters of apology.
Right.
Which are on display on the wall for everyone to see what kind of idiots are actually walking around us. They are apologizing to a doll because they had some bad fortune after not, you know, applying the rule of law being you ask Robert for a picture. That seems ludicrous to me.
Yeah.
It really does.
I'm willing to go and say that, you know, the first 20 letters was written by the owner.
Come on, right? Exactly. Just to get the ball rolling.
Right.
I mean, and again, I have to say this again real quick. You know, we got about 10 minutes or so left. But I just want to say, you know, I know people are saying, man, you guys are hating on the paranormal. No, look. Me and Malice have both discussed our paranormal experiences, our experiences with shadow figures, with things that go bump in the night and things falling off the wall and things of that nature. It is not that we are shitting on all things paranormal. I'm kind of shitting on the whole doll thing.
Right.
And the inanimate objects kind of thing. And the Ed and Lorraine Warren. Now, if you guys, Ed and Lorraine Warren, if you guys think, you know, anybody listening thinks that they're just legit as all get out, okay, then prove me wrong. Because all you're really getting, prove us wrong, because all you're really getting when you read their stuff is their accounts. You can look deeper and listen to some other podcasts. I listened to a good one earlier that talked about Edler, and they brought up a lot of really good points, some that I had to steal from their podcast for this one.
That, or if you know of any videos, or if you have any video footage yourself of something like that, you know, poltergeisty, you know, something moving that shouldn't be.
Absolutely.
You know, definitely. Send it in and show it to us. You know, we'd like to see it.
Sure. Right below on nightelevendreads.com, no A in dreads. They, you know, on each page of each particular podcast, there's a chat box down there. It's called Discuss. You can go in as a guest. You can just sign up for free or whatever. If you plan on chatting with us, you can drop us stuff there in the appropriate you know, podcast, drop us something on that. If you know anything, I personally think that they were deep in their religion, so maybe they felt they weren't doing anything wrong. That they were ridding a house of evil, whether it had to be with an object or, some sort of entity or whatnot. Okay. Maybe they thought in their heart they were doing good. But those that really aren't completely bought into that story are looking at it like, I think you guys are, you know, charlatans. I think you guys are conning people right now. I think you're doing the same thing the Lutz did, you know, Amityville.
Right.
I think you guys are right along them same lines. And I'm having a hard time believing you. The more I read about you, the more that, you know, I'm finding that you're discrediting yourself. Maybe it's just me. But I do have, and as well as you, you know, have a belief in this. I mean, we're talking about, you know, maybe doing some short documentaries on some haunted locations here in our area. So
we definitely will be doing.
And that. Yeah, and we're going out and we're looking for these things, not because we don't believe them, because we kind of want to. I kind of would like to. I kind of like to believe that this is, you know, 100% or at least more than I do.
Right.
So we'll see.
The Dybbuk box.
Let's talk about that for the last couple minutes we have here. We were talking a little bit about this, and I was honestly a little bit, not really all that familiar with a Dybbuk box. But what we ran through, you know, real quick, some little bit of history and, you know, some owners, the man who, you know, came up with this. He thought it was basically, it was a wine cabinet. I mean, it's what it boils down to, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of a wine cabinet, just, you know, a place to store your wine and whatnot. And this... What was his name?
Kevin Manis.
Kevin Manis, who obtained this, and what he was told that it came from some the Nazi war camp or something.
Well,
right?
No, it was the family he bought it from. The granddaughter of the woman who owned it, who purchased it, she was a Holocaust survivor.
That's it.
And okay. She purchased it in Spain, and when they sold it. And he had found out that it, you know, belonged to a Holocaust survivor, thought that it would have been, you know, it was possibly a family heirloom because he bought it at an estate sale.
Mm-hmm.
And when he tried to return it to the family, supposedly the granddaughter had stated that, you know, they had just kept it locked away in a sewing room, that a lot of strange and, you know, bad things happened, you know, when they had it out.
Right.
And that they didn't want it back.
Okay. Which is odd, you know, being a fairly heirloom, or him thinking this, you know, and then the family doesn't want it. So, right. What, he keeps it then?
He keeps it, and then he begins to have, like, he opens it, and there's, like, some weird objects in it. And
you know what it reminds me of? When you said he opens it, I'm just picturing it in my head, okay? Ghostbusters. When they open up the little thing there and, you know, all the ghosts go down into where they capture the ghosts. That's what I picture, but like reverse. You open it, it's like...
Like when they shut down the ghost holding system. And
don't cross the streams, bro.
Yeah. But I mean, he opens it up. It had like two pennies from 1920, a lock of blonde hair bound with a cord, a lock of black and brown hair bound with a cord, a small statue engraved with a Hebrew word shalom, a small golden wine goblet, one dried rosebud, and a single candle holder with four octopus-shaped legs. But apparently he started having all these nightmares, foul smells coming, you know, out of nowhere, smells of urine, cat urine, actually. Mm. So
very distinct smell.
He ends up, you know, writing the movie. What was it? The Possession. He wrote and acted in it. From 2012, The Possession.
Yeah, I actually saw that movie. It was entertaining. I didn't realize it was, you know, that guy. So go ahead.
So I mean, you know, it was sold and, you know, passed to different people, and they all experienced you know, just random terrible nightmares, you know, foul smells. Kevin Manis actually, he claims that when he gave his mother the box on Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
She ended up having a stroke the same day he gave her the box as a present.
Now, the word Dybbuk.
But her birthday was on Halloween, too.
Interesting.
So it was a birthday present.
Okay. Now, the word Dybbuk is actually a Hebrew demon. That is almost like a parasite. Is that how you described
it
earlier?
Just
a malicious entity that just, you know, it takes over or whatever. So
it takes over and consumes, you know, whatever life form that it's trying to get.
Gotcha.
And then it goes to the next.
So how, I mean, he obviously had some sort of knowledge of this, because did he coin the box? Did he coin it a Dybbuk box?
Yeah, it was like you said to begin with. It was a wine cabinet, but they
through all the stories, he just assumed it was.
He just named it a Dybbuk box because I believe that the family had said that the reason why they didn't want it back is because of all the things that were happening, and they were obviously, you know, Jewish. And they said that it had a Dybbuk in it, so that they were referring to that. They believed that it had a demon in it.
Okay.
So, and all the weird items it had in it, he
attributed it to that
being a Dybbuk box.
Right.
And that you can look up and find them on eBay.
Yeah.
I mean, once again, you know, I call bullshit, but I'm not going to order one.
I wouldn't mind. You know, on eBay too, you know, some of these evil dolls that we've been talking about, you can find on eBay. People are selling, you know, evil dolls. We call bullshit so many times tonight before we even started recording, through the videos we were watching. Female has a haunted doll collection.
Oh God.
And I want to mention this is going to bring us right up to about the end of the show here. Haunted doll collection, and she's on, you know, on there and has these dolls placed there, and you can see her literally, you know, shift her eyes a little bit to look at the screen, like she's looking at what's being recorded to make sure certain things are moving when she says they're going to move. And I look at things like that when I'm looking at these videos. Any little indiscrepancy, and anything like, oh, come on, as soon as that word was said, boom, that doll moved. Was that a code word to pull the fish line? I mean, what was it? You know? And we both seen that, and we were both pointing shit out, like, oh, well, why is the doll behind it moving the same way it's moving? Like, they're both kind of, like, connected or adhered to or something. So, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we've put out tonight, Malice, that we're very skeptical on this whole evil, you know, possessed objects, haunted dolls. I can't at least completely throw it out the window, but I haven't seen anything.
I can't say that it's not real. I just don't believe it.
Right. It, you know, and it's one of those things, and we're very much of this mind frame that, hey, you know what? I have to see it with my own eyes kind of thing.
Definitely.
That's why we go ghost hunting. That's why we plan these ventures. As you know, I've been to, you know, Hillview Manor up in, you know, PA, and you know, a few other, you know, little places around here locally, and we plan on doing some mini dogs. Oh, so
I got some ideas.
Yeah, and trust me, guys, we're going at it. We're not going at it like Zach. And ghost hunters and bullshit. No,
I'm wanting to go visit an abandoned town.
Sure.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
There's a couple abandoned towns that I want to go visit.
Here?
In
the great state of Ohio?
One is in Ohio, and the other one is in West Virginia.
Awesome. And this is something that, you know, is on our radar here at Night of the Living Dreads. Man, this is an interesting discussion tonight. Even though, you know, we were pretty much on this on the same brain wave length. There, that was kind of difficult to get out.
Yep.
But regardless, man, you know, you guys got, you know, stories. You guys got some video evidence. Please, by all means, share it with us. You know, we'd like to see it. I'm not much, you know, a believer in that. Maybe that's why I don't find, you know, Chucky scary or these doll, you know, horror movies scary, because it's so unbelievable to me. You know, I get scared more with a movie, you know, when I find that this is actually a plausible situation. This is something that could happen.
The only good thing about those kind of movies are the jump scares.
That's it. That's it. Yeah.
Because the background story is...
Yeah. It really is. It really is. All right, brother. Hey, with that, man, episode 19 in the books, episode 20 next week. Have no idea what we're going to talk about then, but that's all right, because that's a little bit of time away. Want to again encourage anyone, if you're not already a member over there, Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook, to join the party over there. It's a great gang of gals and guys over there, just sharing our love and passion for horror and all things horror related. You can also find me and Malice over there in Night of the Living Dreads on Facebook. Come over, give us a like, check out any podcast that we've done. If you are a new listener, first time, you can catch up over there at nightoflivingdreads.com and check out all the podcasts over there. Been a little lackluster on keeping the website up to date, other than the podcast. They're always up to date. But other than that, man, this was an interesting show, and just because, you know, we're not buying it, don't mean that other people are buying it, and that's fine, man. That's fine. You choose what you, you know, you choose what you want to buy and what you don't want to buy, man. I'm not buying the whole haunted doll thing, but hey, the movies are entertaining, and that's about it, I guess. All right, for Gorehounds of Horror, this is Night of the Living Dreads podcast. I'm Otis B. Dreads.
I am Malice Murphy.
And we're going to bid you a farewell on this February 3rd, 2019 evening. Have a good night. We'll talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.